ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैवं नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं तदोजयामुदीरयेत् अष्टप्रियेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्ति भवति नैष्ठिकी. This morning, a great devotee, His Holiness Gunagrai Swami Maharaj, has left his body here, so let us offer this Bhagavata Katha to him. Today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, canto number 8, chapter 3, titled Gajendra's Prayers of Surrender, and we are reading text number 9, we are skipping text number 8. Please repeat. Tasmai namaha para ishaya brahmane ananta shaktaye arupaya ururupaya namaha ascharya karmane Tasmai nama parishaya Tasmai nama parishaya Brahmane nanta shaktaye Brahmane nanta shaktaye Alupayoru rupaya Rupayoru rupaya Nama ascharya karmane Nama ascharya karmane Tasmai unto him Namaha. I offer my obeisances. Para transcendental Ishaya, who is the Supreme Controller. Brahmane, who is the Supreme Brahman, Parabrahman. Ananta Shaktaye, with unlimited potency. Arupaya, possessing no material form. Ururupaya, possessing various forms as incarnations. Namaha, I offer my obeisances. Ascharya Karmane, whose activities are wonderful. Translation and purported by His Divine Grace as Srila Prabhupada. Bhakti Jayashila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no material birth. Activities, name, form, qualities, or faults. To fulfill the purpose for which this material world is created and destroyed, he comes in the form of a human being like Lord Rama, Lord Krishna. By his original internal potency, he has immense potency and in various forms, all free from material contamination. He acts wonderfully. He is therefore the Supreme Brahman. I offer my respects to him. Please repeat. The Supreme Personality of God, it has no material birth. Activities, name, form, qualities, or faults. To fulfill the purpose for which this material world is created and destroyed. He comes in the form of a human being. Like Lord Rama or Lord Krishna, by his original internal potency. He has immense potency. and in various forms, all free from material contamination. He acts wonderfully. He is therefore the Supreme Brahman. I offer my respects to him. Purport. In the Vishnu Purana, it is said, Gunamscha doshamscha mune vyatita samasta kalyana gunatmakohi. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no material form, qualities, or faults. He is spiritual and is the only reservoir of all spiritual qualities. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 4:8, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, paritranaya sadunam vinashayacha dushkritam. The Lord's activities are of saving the devotees and annihilating the demons are transcendental. Anyone annihilated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead gets the same result as a devotee who is protected by the Lord. Both of them are transcendentally promoted. The only difference is that the devotee goes directly to the supreme spiritual planets and becomes an associate of the Supreme Lord, whereas demons are promoted to Brahmaloka, the impersonal effulgence of the Lord. Both of them, however, are transcendentally promoted. The Lord's killing or annihilating of the demons is not exactly like the killing of this material world. Although he appears to act within the modes of material nature, he is nirguna, above the modes of nature. His name is not material. Otherwise, how could one get liberation by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Rama? The names of the Lord like Rama and Krishna are not different from the person Rama and Krishna. Thus, by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one constantly associates with Rama and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore becomes liberated. A practical example is Ajamila, who always remained transcendental to his activities simply by chanting the name Narayana. If this was true to Ajamila, what is said to be of the Supreme Lord, when the Lord comes to this material world, he does not become a product of matter. This is confirmed throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Avajanantima Mudha Manushim Tanam Ashritam. Therefore, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Rama or Krishna, descends to act transcendentally for our benefit, we should not consider him an ordinary human being. When the Lord comes, he does so on the basis of his spiritual potencies, Sambhavam Yatma Mayaya, because he is not forced to come by the material energy. He is always transcendental. One should not consider the Supreme Lord an ordinary human being. Material names and forms are contaminated, but spiritual name and spiritual form are transcendental. Om Agyana Timinandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, this is the continuation of Gajendra's prayers. Gajendra is describing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he looks into his nature. Ajopisan avyayatma bhutanam ishvaropisan prakritim svamadishtaya sambhavam yatma mayaya. This is Bhagavad Gita 4:6. And this is the first four verses where the Lord reveals his Godhead to Arjuna. If you remember, in the first three chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna and Krishna, they hold a conversation, and gradually Krishna hints at his Godhead. He says, one who surrenders unto me, he comes to me. But they're actually cousins, they're friends at the same age. So at the beginning of the fourth chapter, Krishna tells Arjuna, I have spoken the science of yoga millions of years ago to the sun god Vivasvan. And Arjuna says, how come? I mean, we're the same age. How could I have you spoken this 2 million years ago to the sun god Vivasvan? So here in this section of the Bhagavad Gita, which Srila Prabhupada mentions twice actually in this purport, Krishna reveals his Godhead to Arjuna. So first he says, as I quoted, that Ajopi son of Yayatma, although I'm Aja, I'm unborn, and I'm transcendental, I'm inexhaustible, of Yayatma, Bhutanam Ishvaropi son, and I'm the Lord of all beings. Bhutanam Ishvaropi son, Prakritim Swamadishtaya, Sambhavam Yatma Maya, I still come, not in a material, under material restraints, the gunas, but out of my own potency. So that is the first of these four verses. And then Krishna speaks of his mission. He says, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam sujamyaham. So he says, whenever there is glanir, there's decline in dharma and arise of non-dharma, adharma, at that time I appear. Then Krishna expands that and he says, Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So I come to annihilate the demons, which Srila Prabhupada refers to quite a bit in this purport about annihilating the demons. And he comes to save Paritranaya, Sadunam, the devotees, and to reestablish the principles of Dharma. And for this Sambhavami, he comes Yuge Yuge, Yuga after Yuga. And then the fourth verse, which concludes, and also Srila Prabhupada mentions that in this purport, is Janma Karma Chamedivyam Evam Yo Veti Tattvataha Tyaktvadeham Punarajanma Naiti Mamiti Sarjuna. That he who knows my Janma, birth, and karma, which are Divyam, which are divine, Janma Karma Chamedivyam Evam Yo Veti Tattvataha Deham Punar Janma Naiti Mamiti Sojuna. So when he leaves his body, he does not take his birth again. So these are four verses which speak about the nature of the Lord's appearance. And you may ask, why should one try to understand this? As we heard this week, the Lord is inconceivable and cannot be understood. So in a sense, why bother? Why make the effort if we can't understand? But the process of understanding the Supreme Lord is the process of advancing devotional service. The more one makes progress in devotional service, the more one gets free from the modes of material nature, the more one rises above the gunas in a gradual process, one can get a better glimpse into this Janma Karma Chame Divyam. So that is really the point, that this knowledge is a sign and a fruit of progress in devotional service. This is this idea returns again and again in the Bhagavad Gita, but also in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the Gita, for example, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matas sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajantimam buddha bhavya samanvitaha. So I'm the source of all material and spiritual worlds. And the wise, once they know them, iti, they know this, matva, they think in these terms, bhajante mam, then they worship me. So this realization is not just an intellectual realization, it's not just a type of knowledge which is there to be grasped, understood, or possessed. This is a type of knowledge which, when one gets, one worships Krishna, or if you like, another one of these seminal verses from the 10th chapter, Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mam Upayantite. So those who worship me, they are Yukta Atma, they are Atma's souls who are Yukta, who are connected to me. So what happens when they are Yukta? What happens when these souls are connected to me? Dadami, I give Buddhi Yogam Tam. I give them this Buddhi Yoga, this realization by which they can come to me. Or if you like, the Bhagavatam, second chapter of the first canto, Tadala Jastamo Bhavo Kama Lobada Yashchaye Chitalitir Anavidam Stitam Sati Prasidati. This is the gradual ascendance in devotional service. And then Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaya Janiyatyashu Vairagyam Gyanam Cha Yadahaitukam. So one makes progress in devotional service, and what does he or she get? Quickly, Janiyatyashu, Ashu, quickly, Vairagyam. They get Vairagya, and they also get Gyanam. So that is really the point, that this progress in devotional service goes hand in hand in understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we've quoted these four verses from the Bhagavad Gita, and in these four verses Krishna has emphasized dharma. Dharma samstapanartaya, and he has emphasized saving the devotees, paritranaya sadunam, and he has emphasized killing the demons. But here, in these prayers of Gajendra, there's something else. There's something else which we can and should recognize and see, and we have heard it in a previous verse, in verse number 6, which said, an artist on stage, being covered by attractive dress and dancing with different movements, is not understood by his audience. And the word says, yata natasya akritibi vicheshtata, dancing in different ways, duratyaya, very difficult. So that points at another very subtle and very deep element in our philosophy, and that is also mentioned here in our verse, in our purport, and that is the descent of the Supreme Brahman to this world as a lila, in his avatar form, to perform lilas. So it's not only establishing dharma, it is also to perform lilas. And that is a very deep element in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the story of the Lord's avatars. That is the Srimad Bhagavatam. As you remember, the sages, they met in Naimisha Aranya, Naimisha forest, to contradict the evil influence of Kali Yuga. And what was the sacrifice they were going to perform? It wasn't sacrificing animals, anything like that. It was hearing about the avatars of the Lord. That is a sacrifice. And that is the main body or the main topic of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, the various incarnations of the Lord. What happened in the various incarnations all along the Bhagavatam. That is perhaps the underlying theme of the Bhagavatam. And if you like, the Bhagavatam manifests on earth through this theme. What I mean to say is that the temples we have all around, they manifest the reality of the Bhagavatam. Like this temple, so we have Krishna Balaram, and you have Radha Shyama Sundar, and Gonitai, all avatars coming, or personal Krishna in person. You look around in temples, Narasingha temples, so Nishinga avatar, and so forth. And each temple shows or relates to a different avatar. And you can have various temples dedicated to the same avatar, but in a different mood. This is Lord Jagannath. So it's a certain mood of Krishna, Balaram and Subhadra. And in that way, we can see the incarnations through the temples present mainly in India. But there's something more here. There's something more, I would say. And that's this mention of Natya, dance. Not only dance in the modern sense, but theater. Dance or theater. And that is a very strong element, not only in the Bhagavatam, but in Vaishnavism as well. And in fact, being here in Vrindavan is a very special place to speak about that. Because this area traditionally has been the center of Krishna drama. And scholars, they say that Mathura, in ancient times, that used to be the center for performing Krishna drama, for performing the art, and for enacting these pastimes. And that allows us to perhaps look a little deeper into the idea of drama and how it affects our sampradaya. So drama or Natya is considered to be the fifth Veda coming from Bharat Muni, descending, and it is engaged with dramaturgy, theater, dancing. But drama also has a liberating feature. We are very well aware of Vedanta philosophy. We know Vedanta, we know the Vedanta philosophy, and how the Vedanta aspires to release the Atman from samsara. We are aware of polemics in Vedanta. We know what's Advaita Vedanta, Shankara, Mayavad philosophy. We're not there. We know what's Vishishta Advaita. We know what's Dvaita Vedanta, Achintya Veda, Veda Vedanta, Lord Chaitanya's Vedanta, what's theistic Vedanta. We know these things. We are aware of these things. And I would say that Vedanta aspires to liberate the soul from matter through knowledge. But the Natya Shastra, and particularly the Rasa Shastra, also tries to liberate the spirit soul from samsara. But as opposed to Vedanta, which aspires to liberate through knowledge, through realization, through understanding, Rasa aspires to liberate through the pure emotional experience called Rasa. The pure emotional experience is also liberating in itself. When one can experience through drama, through Natya, through Leela, these emotions, the various emotions, then one becomes liberated from the ego and ultimately from the world. So we have to understand that, because that is at the foundation of Krishna's Leela. Krishna comes to this world to manifest his Leela, and he evokes all kinds of emotions. If you want, we can quote William Shakespeare, who said that all the world's a stage, and all men and women are actors on that stage. We have good British quote from thanks, Prabhu. So, similarly, this idea of the avatar takes the whole world as a stage. And in a sense, Krishna is playing his pastimes, but we are also participant observers in these pastimes. We are there, we are part of the show, we get excited, we get involved. And that saves us, it liberates us, we become attracted to Krishna. So that is a very deep concept in our sampradaya. And we have to be aware of that, because actually we have Vedanta, which if we have time we'll expand it more about that too, but we also have this Leela, which is grounded in the Natya Shastra. Having said that, I have to make some distinction or some study within the Natya Shastra. We mentioned earlier Vedanta. And in Vedanta, you know, we have this division between Vivarta Vada and Parinama Vada. Vivarta would be Advaita Vedanta, Mayavad philosophy, and that would say that this material world is an appearance. We see this material world due to ignorance, but actually we are one with the Supreme. That is non-devotional philosophy. This is influenced by Buddhist philosophy, and it actually poisons one's devotion. And Srila Prabhupada spoke very strongly against this Mayavad philosophy. And then we have the Parinama Vada, according to which this world is a transformation, or if you like, a reflection, a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. The spiritual world is perfect, and this world is a reflection. It's real. It's not false. It's real, but it's touched by the gunas. It is a transformation of the spiritual world. So we are aware of these distinctions in the Vedanta tradition, well aware of them. However, there are also these distinctions in the Rasa tradition, which devotees may not be so aware. In Rasa tradition, there are also these two trends, if you like, the Vivarta and the Parinama. Or if you like, the Mayavada, or the impersonal, and the personal version of Rasa. It's also there. There's also a division with not only in the Vedanta tradition, but also in the Rasa tradition. So, if you like, the two famous medieval thinkers who theorized Rasa are Abhinavagupta and Bhoja. Abhinavagupta, he was a Mayavadi, was a Kashmiri Shaiva, and he considered the Rasa in terms of Vivarta, whereas Bhoja, he was a devotee, he wrote Shringara Prakash, and he considered Rasa in terms of Parinama. Now you may ask, how is that referring to this class, or how does it refer to you in general? The point is that in the Vivarta version, the highest rasa will be Shantaras. All the rasas will culminate in Shantaras, that's the Mayavad version, because that peaceful rasa is the point of meditation for merging with the Supreme. And for the Parinamavada, it will go the other way around. The highest rasa will be Sringara, romantic love, Madhurya. That is the most intense and most complex rasa. So that would be the Vaishnava version of the rasa. And who is the Acharya in our line who has developed that, the most expert in dramaturgy and who lived here in Vrindavan Dham? Rupa Goswami, of course. This is Rupa Goswami. It's all here. I mean, speaking in Vrindavan is just the best place to speak about these things. Even chanting Jaya Radha Madhava, Kunja Bihari, it's all here. Gopi Jana Vallabha, Giri Varadhari. Of course, Giri Varadhari is Govardhan. But I mean, it's all here. Yamuna Tira Vanachari, just here. So, I mean, it's really, we can speak about these topics all around the world, or all over the world. But speaking in Vrindavan has a special taste or special flavor because it's actually here. This is the place where it happened. And here the Acharyas, here Rupa Goswami wrote his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ujjvala Nilamale, Ujjvala Nilamani, Vidagda Madhava, and his works about rasa. So, to summarize this point, the Bhagavatam, or in Krishna's appearance, which this verse talks about, Krishna's appearance has various purposes. And of course, he speaks about Dharma. And that's a great topic. We're not going to discuss Dharma here. It's a great topic. It's a very important topic. There's much to say about Dharma. But suffice it to say that the Dharma of the Bhagavad Gita, gradually in the Bhagavatam, sublimates into devotional service. Save pumsam paro dharmo yato bhaktira doksaje ahai tukhiya pratiyata yatma suprasidati. So, all this discussion of Dharma, which is very important and interesting, in the Bhagavad Gita, gradually sublimates and gradually ascends and becomes the devotional service of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Karma Yoga becomes gradually devotion, and devotion becomes a haituki, a pratyata, pure devotional service in the Bhagavatam. Okay. So, we spoke a little about Dharma, about Lila, about Janma and Karma, and perhaps we can say a word about Gajendra's surrender. Because this pastime, in this pastime, Gajendra starts by enjoying, and then he fights the crocodile. For 1,000 years he becomes weak, and eventually he surrenders. What is this surrender? Such an important term in our devotional service. Such an important practice. How to realize this surrender. How to connect that to our life. So Srila Prabhupada, in teachings of Lord Chaitanya, he offers a list of 6 items of surrender, trying to articulate, trying to verbalize what surrender is. So the first item which Srila Prabhupada lists is to accept everything which is favorable for devotional service. Accept everything which is favorable to devotional service, which means that one has to have devotional service. One has to have this devotion, and not only devotion, but also service. And that service, if you like, becomes the compass, the factor by which to determine what to do and what not to do, how to navigate in one's life. I have a service, means I'm a servant, And that service helps me to find my place in life. If there's some suggestion or opportunity, I will judge that as to how that is favorable to my devotional service. And then the second item is the contra item. It says that one should reject things which are not favorable to devotional service. Something comes out and that obstructs my devotional service, so I reject that. It's the same principle, the positive and the negative. And then the third one is to believe firmly in the protection of the Lord, which is, just think about it, it is a state of mind to actually be conscious of Krishna, to be Krishna conscious, and not only Krishna conscious in a negative way like Kamsa, but Krishna conscious in that believing that the world, that the Lord will actually help. It's quite a I would say delicate state of mind where I actually go and have this dependence of Krishna. Chaitasa sarva karmani mai sanyasya matpalaha budyugam pashritya machita satatam bhava, in all activity just depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. Machita sarva durgani mat prasada tarishasi atachvet chetvam mahankaram na shoshasi vinangshasi. And if you do that, you will overcome all the obstacles by my grace, Krishna says. But if not, act out of false ego, you will be lost. And then the fourth component, that is to be exclusively dependent upon the mercy of Krishna. Exclusively. This is also quite interesting. It's not only to depend upon Krishna, but in an exclusive way. I mean, not depend upon Krishna and also a few other things, but on Krishna. It's not easy. It's not easy to practice that, actually. I don't know what it takes. Maybe you tell me. Is it practice? Is it giving up? What did it take Draupadi when she was humiliated after the gambling match in the arena, in the Kuru court? What did it take Draupadi to give up defending herself and say, "Hey Krishna, please deliver me"? What is that state of mind where one actually lets go and depends upon Krishna? That is not easy to describe, this state of mind. It's something quite internal which one has to practice. Of course, in the Sri Vaishnava tradition, there was even a split in the tradition between the northern and southern tradition about with this being a major point. Some said depending upon the Lord will be like the monkey, and some would be like the kitten. The monkey will hold to the Lord, the baby monkey holds to the mother with their hands, whereas the kitten, the cat would carry the kitten, and the kitten is to be completely passive, doesn't have to do anything. What is our position on that? I can say my own understanding. I think I would be more closer to the monkey, kind of work hard, depend upon Krishna through devotional service, but actually work hard and establish things in devotional service. So that was the exclusive dependence upon the Lord. And what was the fifth item? I forgot that. To believe firmly. To believe firmly that the Lord will help. Not only to depend upon it, but to believe that it will help. And to be always meek and humble. It's a little thing, we're getting close there, so perhaps we'll leave some room for questions and not open other topics. But I would say, though, that at least referring to the last point of being meek and humble, and even beyond that, that if you want to understand surrender, I think maybe the best source is the Shikshastakam prayers, which we chant every morning. As far as we can handle, Trinadapi, Sunichana, Tvarapi, Sahishtuna, Amanina, Manadina, Kirtaniya, Sadahare. One should be meek and humble like a tree, more taller than a tree, devoid of prestige, and ready to offer all respect to others. And I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, he shall remain so, even if he hands me roughly by his embrace. It's all Shikshastakam, it's all the mood of a surrender, exclusive surrender to Krishna. And of course, let me perhaps end with a small smile and say that mentioning Shikshastakam and having mentioned Buddhist philosophy, we also maintain Buddhist philosophy of shunyata, of void, and that's not Shikshastakam. Shunyaitam jagat sarvam govinda virahename. That is our version of shunyata, because for us being devotees, when we don't see Govinda, then the whole world becomes void. So if you want shunyata, yes, Shikshastakam version of shunyata, shunyaitam jagat sarvam govinda virahename. This our shunyata, without Krishna the world becomes void. So it's 9 o'clock, and perhaps any questions or comments? Yes, our president.
Oh. Thank you, Guru. You mentioned about the monkey and the cat. The monkey is, you know, holding on, being busy. So, you know, we have to try in so many ways with our endeavor and intelligence to apply ourselves. It always comes to a point. Is there a point that we actually have to also become like the kitten, that we have to surrender and let Krishna just take us? Because, I know there's two ways, the sadhana and the endeavor, but it's not only by our endeavor, it has to come a point of surrender as well, that where Krishna actually carries us a little further. So, like the Jnana tried for 1,000 years, and many of us tried for
I don't know, but I can. I just don't know. It's a very deep point. It's a very deep point, and I don't know. But I can speak of my own realizations, and my own experience is that I have my service, and I'm trying very hard throughout my life to do my service. But there are certain points which I can look back that there were obstacles that I could have never crossed without Krishna's mercy. I know that. I tried and I did so many things. I worked hard and strategy, and I really tried. But some events really changed the thing in a way I couldn't figure out. Events which were beyond me in a something. And my own realization, again, it's a personal realization, I'm not saying it's a doctrine, that working hard and trying so hard, but knowing that at a certain point I might come to an obstacle which I will not be able to cross, and Krishna may take me over that obstacle at this point. So certainly I'm not promoting a life of being passive, waiting for it to happen. I'm also not thinking that everything is under control. I'm working hard and trying to look for that. Perhaps if I could be a little more philosophical and less personal, I would try to look at the Bhagavad Gita's doctrine of action. And the doctrine of action, 247, Karmani eva dikaraste ma paleshu kadachana ma karma pala etur mate sangastva karmani. So we perform, this is the basic stage of performing action, service without regard to the fruits. But when action sublimates, gradually becomes purified, we still work hard, but gradually we become more and more yukta and more dependent. So I would say it's a practice, it's a deep spiritual practice, practice in action, an active practice, but in that practice, learning to give up and wait for Krishna's mercy. Prabhu, you have a question? To make more?
More beautiful arrangement than previous. So in the turmoil, you wonder what's going on, but a more beautiful impression provides it. So my question is...
Thank you, Rupa, for that.
You said, we are part of the world stage...
Thank you. You said, in your structures now, we are part of the world stage pastimes of Krishna. With regard to this, can you further define what is understood by rasa or lila? Are we presently participating in Krishna's rasa? Can you explain that point, please?
Yeah. Basically, as I mentioned, there are two ways to understand rasa. One is the vivarta and one is the parinama. The Vivarta would say that rasa is out of this world, is unattainable. It's a very deep, far, unattainable experience, something very, very esoteric. That would be the Vivarta. But the Parinama would say that the emotions we have here are an underdeveloped form of rasa. So when we dance here, in Krishna Balaram temple, Jai Krishna Balaram, Jai Radha Shyama Sundar, Jai Shishi Gonitai, we are excited. This is a real emotion, a real rasa. Now, the more we advance, it may become deeper. We may purify, but it's already real. That is the Parinama version. We already experience rasa. It's not something esoteric, far away. We already have it here. We have to purify it. Let me dance with more absorption. Let me sing with more emotion. Let me meditate deeper when I chant Jaya Radha Madhava. Srila Prabhupada was crying when he was chanting Jaya Radha Madhava. I'm not crying, apparently because my heart is made of stone. But let us go deeper. But these are real emotions. That's my point. It's not outwardly the rasa. The Parinama, it would say that our emotions are real. But let us purify them. Let us sublimate them. But they are real. Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhuji, I'm very fond of dancing. I like to dance when the kirtan starts. Sometimes I complain, I jab them with my elbows. Under your authority, can I say, Prabhuji, I'm developing my rasa?
See, okay. We came to rasa when Vrindavan. We are followers of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada has established Krishna consciousness or ISKCON in a certain, I would say, space. I don't know. Let us look at Srila Prabhupada's literary contribution. I would say that Srila Prabhupada has established his philosophy in four books: Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's Srila Prabhupada's literary legacy. That's where Srila Prabhupada, how he defined ISKCON. We know that there are rasas and there are, we know that. I mean, Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada has given us this book, Nectar of Devotion. It's so much about rasa. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. But we are devotees of Srila Prabhupada, and our main thrust is a devotional service, what is called Vaidhi Bhakti. This is, we may develop from there, but that is the way Srila Prabhupada defined ISKCON. To my mind, that's the best way. I deeply think that we have a lot to do in that category. And as Srila Prabhupada said, work hard, samadhi later. Now, I'm not denying that the other elements in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, which go to all kinds of rasas and things, it's there. It's real. But I think to be a member of ISKCON, to be a follower of Srila Prabhupada, one has to be within the realm which Srila Prabhupada defined. Gita, Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, CC, that defines a realm, and to my mind, this is a safe path, it's a solid path, it has a lot to offer the world, as far as saving the world, offering, even in less superlatives, as far as offering deep ideas to society at large. This is our place, and it's a great place to be. So that would be my answer for that, yeah.
Stay within the ambit of Srila Prabhupada's teaching.
Of course.
Okay. This is also very nice to the monkey and the so if we're observant, we can see that these baby monkeys, they normally have to cling to the stomach of their mothers as she is running about here and there. For some reason, they lose their grip. The mother will sometimes just leave them and they'll have to fend for themselves. But in the case of the kitten, which is born in the mind of Gopiya, the mother, the cat, very gently carries her offspring in her mouth. Whereas if it were a pellet or a bird or some other source of food, the feeling would be death in the mouth of the cat. But I forget the verse. I'm not very literate in that sense. But Krishna says that whatever one may lack, I will make up. So if we're weak in some areas of our devotional service, if we're exhibiting sincerity, then Krishna will say, okay, I will give this boy, I will give this girl a little bit of a shove.
Ananya chintayantumam yejana paryupasate tesham nitya biyuktanam yoga kshemam vaham yaham. I agree, and that's also that element of surrender, believing that Krishna will actually come at that moment and help us when we're lucky. Shall we wind up? I think it's time to whatever our president says.
We have to ask one question, otherwise he doesn't.
You say.
She was begging from Vishnu Pita, Dronacharya, and Pandavas, please save me. When she saw that nobody can save her, then she meditated on herself.
Right, it took her time to come to that point. It's not easy. First, she was trying to ask her husband to protect, then, she was holding the sari. But then, she let go. It was a process. She underwent a conversion, if you like, a change of heart. True. Thank you, Prabhu, for that. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Go Premanande.